Warning, 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today's movie we're going to be reviewing is called Sinners. It's written and directed by Ryan Coogler, starring Michael B. Jordan as both Smoke and Stack, aka the Smokestack Twins, Miles Canton as Sammy Moore, Saul Williams as Jediah, and Jack O'Connell as Remick. The plot of the movie is, in 1930s Mississippi, twin brothers and former gangsters return home to open a juke joint for their community. But when a vampire named Remick and his undead clansmen target their musically gifted cousin to fuel their dark ritual, the brothers must fight back. But before we get into it, Corey, last night I was looking in the mirror and you know what? My beard was looking gnarly. And I said to myself, I can't look like this. I gotta do something. So I decided to break out Beard Octane's beard wash and conditioner along with their beard oil, and dude, my beard looked amazing. I'm glad you turned me on to Beard Octane.
Yeah, of course. Like I said, I've been using their products for years and I can vouch for them. And whether you're pounding IPAs or chopping wood, you gotta look your best. Visit beardoctane.com and use the code 30screams10 at checkout for a 10% discount. It helps us. And like I said, the products are absolutely incredible. They're local too. They're based out of Connecticut. So help them out and support small businesses. We're not just slinging beard grooming supplies. We've been using them for a while.
Yeah, we have. 30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of Sinners?
I think it's time to wrap up the podcast, Steve. I am fully convinced we're never going to see anything this good again. Ryan Coogler deserves all of the respect in the world for this, his first take on the horror genre. Obviously, he and Michael B. Jordan have history together, like Black Panther and the Creed movies. And it shows. As soon as it ended, and after a couple minutes of the after credits scene, I just sat in my chair processing what I just saw with a smile from ear to ear. This film makes me realize why I fell in love with movies so long ago.
Man, yeah, I couldn't agree more. This movie was so damn good. And, you know, when directors have this one person, this one actor that they tend to work with, they develop this relationship and usually kill it in movies. I mean, I loved Creed. Black Panther was awesome. I didn't see the second Black Panther for some reason.
It was good.
It was good? Okay. But Black Panther was awesome. This was fucking awesome. So obviously the director has that relationship now with Ryan Coogler has that relationship now with Michael B. Jordan, similar to like, what's his name?
Adam Sandler, Rob Schneider.
Yeah, okay. Adam Sandler, Rob Schneider. Or also like Tim Burton and Johnny Depp. Some of these directors, they have these people that are like their go-tos. So they develop that relationship and it fucking works. And man, this movie worked. I actually wrote up a little fucking blurb myself. I know you have like your whole opening. I got my own. I almost don't even want to talk about this movie because I just want people to watch it. I know we have the spoiler warning at the beginning, but this may be a short review because it's a movie that needs to be witnessed. Our review is just going to hype the thing up the whole time and it delivers. But, you know, we'll go into our whole like bullet points and everything. But man, you nailed it. Just hit the nail on the head. This movie's great. Start to finish. It's so unique. And I knew we were in for something special like a few minutes into this movie.
Yeah, dude, there's just like the way that it opened up. And I think you picked up on this too, but we see Sammy with the broken guitar. And I'm thinking, I wonder if this is the end of the movie. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I had that feeling as soon as it started. And we later find out that's exactly what it was and why he was walking around all covered in blood and with a broken guitar. But this, just to open the film this way, you know it's coming. You know it's just going to be a crazy fucking movie. And it felt like it, I don't want to say dragged, but like I'd say the whole maybe first hour, maybe hour and 20 minutes, it kind of was all story. There wasn't any horror or any of that to it yet. Mm-hmm. But like from that point forward, like just insane. And normally I would hate that. I would hate that about a horror movie if it felt like it dragged. We've talked about it before.
Plenty.
But it was so tastefully done in this and it all meant something.
That's exactly the case. It all meant something. It all built up to the brothers opening up this juke joint. It almost sounds like they're just trying to turn their life around, like turn a new leaf and just get out of the whole gangster shit, right? So it's this whole buildup of them like getting the business going, getting the community involved, reconnecting with people that they love and like friends, all this stuff, getting everyone back together and just trying to make like this whole community thing, right? So it's that whole buildup, almost like redemption. Like they're trying to fucking make up for all the bad shit they did to do something good. So it's like this whole redemption story. And then they're, you know, put with this impossible task of fucking being surrounded by vampires and all their friends are just being turned into vampires.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like Ryan Coogler wrote it in such a way where like you think up until maybe the middle of the movie that it's going to be some sort of mob movie, like a Scarface, a Goodfellas type movie.
Yep.
And then it completely changes directions. It reminded me of Barbarian a little bit, where it did that. It starts one way and then it completely changes. It's like two movies in one almost.
Oh, that's a good point. Because, yeah, it does feel like an old-timey movie where you're like running alcohol, prohibition. It's like the prohibition era and, you know, shit like that. But that was their way of giving back, is to try to start up a juke joint. And, man, this was so cool because not only was the horror aspect fantastic, but the music in this movie,
dude,
was stellar.
So that, are you talking about like the musical aspects of it?
Yes, because they had like that old timey feel. They brought in the blues and it was so well done, man.
Yeah. I've talked about it a lot. Like I'm a huge Disney fan and Disney movies are musicals. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I'm really not a musical person. And I didn't know what was going to happen in this movie. So like when we first see Remick and his crew like doing the, was it an Irish jig, I think, in like a fucking cornfield?
Basically,
dude,
yeah.
I was like, I love this movie so much because it went from fucking blood and guts and everything to a musical. And I know they've done that before. If you've ever seen Sweeney Todd, that's a horror musical. But you don't, Repo, but Repo's you don't another. See it often.
Yeah. Repo the Genetic Opera. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I haven't watched that in a while. And then they put out Repo Men, and I'm like, I see what you're doing. You're taking that story and you're trying to make it into an actual movie. No, not buying it. I don't care if Jude Law is in it. Nope. Yeah, the music aspect in this was, I thought, really cool because it almost felt like a musical at points. For instance, like there was this really cool scene where Sammy is doing his thing at the juke joint, right? And then it's like the music has like this special quality to it where people are just so lost in the moment that they're maybe thinking about the past, they're thinking about the future.
Mm-hmm.
And they're bringing in all these different aspects from the past and the future. And it's a weird fucking part because you're seeing DJs up on stage all of a sudden. But
yeah, dude, the part where like you see there's someone playing an electric guitar and there's people rapping and there's twerking.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Like what the fuck just happened?
I was so confused for a second, but then it dawned on me like, oh, they're trying to show us like the music is speaking so much to these people that they're thinking about all these different time frames in reality.
Well, not only that, but I felt like this particular scene was kind of, see, up until this point, it wasn't a horror movie.
No.
So this whole dance scene between all of them and the singing, the rapping, it kind of felt like a punctuation mark on me to the first part of the movie, right? Because right after this happens, Remick and his crew show up at the door and they're like, invite us in. We're going to kill you all kind of thing. And if anyone knows like vampire lore, they have to be invited into your location. They can't just walk in.
Yep. That's why I don't have a mat in front of my door that says welcome.
Yeah. I have a Art the Clown one in front of ours.
That's fun. Yeah. It doesn't say welcome though, right?
No, I don't think it says anything. It just has his face.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, that's the whole lore with vampires. And it's pretty important that we mention that because they can't do shit unless you either go out there or you allow them into your building. Now we see this fuckery briefly where Remick was being chased and you could tell that he was not human because he's got these burns all over his body and he's smoking
and the red eyes.
Yep, the red eyes.
I love the red eyes. I thought that was a nice touch on the vampires.
Yeah, for sure. So he goes to like this random house where there's this husband and wife there. And he's just like, I beg you, let me in. I'm being chased by these Indians. Don't believe them, blah, blah, blah. And then they finally invite him in. So they hide him. The Indians come by and They must have knew some shit was up, man, because they were hunting him. And I'm actually surprised they didn't implement the Indians again later on in the film now that they've been hunting this guy down.
Yeah. Right?
And they could have heard.
Maybe it could be Ryan Coogler said he doesn't want to do a sequel to this movie.
Okay, that's fair.
He's flat out said it. But I guess the producers or the people that own the rights to it, they want a sequel. So they're like willing to move on without Ryan Coogler to make a sequel.
Oh, don't do it.
So
don't
I was thinking it. that would be the sequel, because the way this ends, and we'll get there, mm-hmm. we could have, you know, the Indians in the film.
Yeah, a prequel maybe?
Or a prequel, yeah.
Yep, something
like
that.
Well, maybe that's why he said he didn't want a sequel, because he's actually planning a prequel.
Oh, that's that smart bastard.
We'll fucking swerve.
Oh, nice little swerve. I like when they do that. And it makes sense why there's discussion about a sequel or even a prequel here. Fucking killed at the box office.
Yeah. I honestly had no interest in it when I first heard about it. I remember seeing the first trailer and I was just like, because I wasn't the biggest Michael B. Jordan fan.
Really? Okay.
You know, he's fine. I don't really go out of my way to watch his movies.
All right, that's fair.
So seeing the original trailer, and I just think it's going to be like some kind of shitty action movie. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then you hear how like all these rave reviews it's getting. Like, what is it on Rotten Tomatoes right now?
It's probably a disgusting rating if you want to look at
it. Yeah, I'm doing it right now. Let's
see. By disgusting, I mean like a high rating. So the way I kind of found out about this movie, like I heard about Sinners movie and I didn't even really dive into it, nothing like that. Actually, anything, I went into this movie blind.
Dude, 97% tomato meter.
That's crazy. And is that audience score?
I don't know really how to read this. So the 97% tomato meter and the popcorn meter.
Popcorn meter is audience.
Okay, so that's 96% from the audience.
So 97 and 96.
Yep.
Okay, that's amazing because that's a clear indicator of the movie is that of high caliber.
Yeah, I typically don't look at any ratings on Rotten Tomatoes, especially their ratings, because if they usually rate something shitty, I end up enjoying it, you know?
Right, exactly. They're critics like us, but they're like these Joe Schmoes that sign up for an account, and for some reason, Rotten Tomatoes is like, okay, yeah, we'll consider you a critic. And then they just start doing their critic thing. I mean, what is it? Pot calling the kettle black here. I mean, we started a friggin' podcast just so we can review movies. Yeah. We could have just signed up for a fucking Rotten Tomatoes account.
Right. Yeah. We could have had a 30 Screams or Less website instead where we just write our text reviews and we don't have to do this dumb shit every week.
Yeah. Like Celebrity Poop Shoot.
that's one I haven't heard in a while.
it's a Celebrity Poop Shoot, right? Is that what it is? You know, from Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Yeah,
it's the movies. Look it up. Good luck.
I don't even want to know what's
going to
come.
That might be a problem.
Up.
If you're looking up the word poop shoot, this might be a problem.
Oh, Jessica Simpson shares photos going to the toilet.
Oh god. Oh, see, this is what happens. You looked up poop shoot as opposed to, you know what? Do like Jay and Silent Bob movie website. That way.
Oh, that was okay. That was why they Jay wanted to go to that kid's house.
Yeah, you are the ball licker.
Yeah, yeah. Jay and Silent Bob poop shoot response. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, poop shoot. Okay.
Yeah. Movie poop shoot.
Movie poop shoot. Okay, that makes a little bit more sense. So yeah, we could have just been like had a website like movie poop shoot and that's it. But no, we're a bunch of idiots who decided to start a podcast. Hey, I think we do all right.
Yeah, we're okay. We're doing all right.
Yeah, we're fine. We're fine. So this movie, man, from what I was reading, made over $350 million worldwide.
That's insane to me. Like, Ryan Coogler has said he just doesn't want to do another movie because he feels like he told the story he wanted to tell in this one. Mm-hmm. But, like, how could you not with all of that money that this movie made?
Yeah, that's a disgusting amount, man. That's some Marvel territory shit.
A lot of sequels get made just because, you know?
Right.
Like, yeah, I'm only going to make one, but it made so much money. Yeah, I'll make another one. It's like what Danny McBride does.
Yeah, he's like kind of forced into it because he wants to put out a few seasons of a show and move on. But they're like, no, we want you to do another season. Kind of like what they did with the Righteous Gemstones. The season that just happened did not need to happen.
It didn't need to happen. Like, I feel like the ending was, I mean, it wrapped up the story good, but yeah, it didn't need to happen.
No.
It could have ended with season 3.
Yep. I think season 3 was a very good ender, but I'm sure HBO was like, listen, this is a fucking cash cow, and we want you to do another season.
That's what they did with him with Eastbound and Down, Vice Principals. Mm-hmm. He's talked about it on podcasts.
That he just doesn't want to do it, but hey, he makes a lot of money doing it.
Yeah, he only wanted to make like one season of Eastbound and Down, and look what happened to it.
Yeah, I thought it was good for a few seasons, but then like it started getting really fucking weird on that last season.
I don't know, man. I loved every single season, every single episode. It's one of my favorite shows ever.
That's a great show. I mean, that first season was an absolute fucking banger. I remember that. I don't really remember much after that. I do remember like the pitch off between him and Will Ferrell and an eyeball getting knocked out and all sorts of winners.
Ashley Otto.
Yeah, and Ashley Otto. That's right.
My favorite season was the one where he went to Mexico.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. Stevie's a fucking maniac down there.
Yeah, and he's got the girlfriend who doesn't speak English.
Yep, exactly. Now it's all right. Now it's all coming back to me.
And Kenny Powers got cornrows.
Oh, yeah, he does. Fucking crazy. That's right. Isn't he like on a Mexican baseball team?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. So, yeah, going to go back into this, though, but that's Marvel territory, making $350+ million. And from what I heard, this was at IMAX, and I think Thunderbolts came out for IMAX, and it got pulled in favor of this.
Oh, I have no idea. That's great. I wouldn't be shocked because I don't believe Thunderbolts did well in the box office. And yes, they came out at the same time.
Yeah, that's what I was hearing, is that got pulled in IMAX because Sinners was making so much damn money. And it was a heavy budget, though. It was like $90 million, but they fucking made their money back for sure.
I don't understand the streaming, like how they determine when to put things on streaming, because as I said, those two movies came out at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't believe Thunderbolts is in the theaters anymore, but Sinners just came out on streaming, I think either last week or this week. Thunderbolts isn't on streaming yet.
No, I think Sinners, like, I didn't think they came out at exactly the same time. I think there was overlap. Like, Sinners came out maybe a couple weeks before and then Thunderbolts. But you might want to look that up.
Yeah, I'm on it.
Yeah.
Thunderbolts release date. Fuck. Well, I'm going to look real quick. I'm going to mute myself.
Yeah. So, I mean, here's kind of the thing that you were just alluding to with, you don't know when this shit is going to streaming because it could do so fucking good at the box office that they're not going to bring it on streaming just yet. Why would they?
Okay, so Sinners came out April 18th.
Okay.
Thunderbolts was in U.S. theaters May 2nd.
Okay,
but so April 22nd in London.
All right, so 2 weeks later. So, okay, I was right. There was overlap. So, yeah, when a movie does so good, they're more than likely not going to put it on streaming as quick as possible. For the most part, from what I gather at least, it gets pushed to streaming fast when it didn't do good in theaters.
Exactly. If it bombs, it usually goes on theaters. I mean, on streaming right away.
Right. Think about the Barbie movie. You remember how good that did, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Disgusting money. It took like 6 months or something before they even started releasing it on physical media, before streaming. They wanted to get their money's worth out of that movie, and they did. They got a lot of money out of that movie. So it did really well at the box office. It stayed there for fucking ever.
Mm-hmm.
So this did really well. I don't know why it got pushed to streaming so fast. Beats me.
No clue.
This is one of those weird situations where, like, I mean, this ain't the COVID era anymore where they're just straight up releasing movies to streaming and not even going to theaters.
Remember when they did that with, what was the Disney movie, the Marvel movie with, there was one that went straight to Disney Plus.
One that went straight to Disney Plus?
Yeah. Black Widow.
Oh, yeah. Yikes.
Yeah, Black Widow was day one streaming because COVID killed its theater release.
That's right. COVID did a lot of that. I remember Dune got released on HBO Max during COVID. Mm-hmm. Like, that was, like, I think their first movie, like, direct to streaming. So I was like, oh, shit.
I loved COVID.
Yeah?
Yeah, we got to watch movies, like, right away.
That's true, we did.
I got to work from home every day. Like, I keep saying it. We need another pandemic.
Oh, God. I work from home every day. I barely even leave this house.
I want that life.
I mean, it's nice, but sometimes I feel like I'm rusty with people.
Mm-hmm. That sounds awesome.
I go out. It's not awesome. I'm a vocalist of a band. I need to be like comfortable around groups, but now I'm just like, I don't know what to do.
Fuck, that sounds so awesome.
All right. Well, that's the life for you then. I'm like being the center of attention.
Okay.
I don't know, man. So we didn't even really talk about any of the shit. Well, we talked about some stuff happening in this movie.
But we also mentioned we don't want to spoil it all.
Yeah. I mean, it's too fucking much. You know what? Why don't we take a step back to the whole vampire lore thing then?
Okay.
With they're not allowed to go inside houses. You want to know how I remembered that?
True Blood?
No. No.
That's how I remembered it.
Renfield.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because Renfield had a mat that said welcome, and that's how Dracula was able to get into his apartment.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, how did you get in here? And then it said the welcome mat. He's like, ah, shit. That's like an invitation, is the welcome mat. So you started seeing that these people are turning into vampires when they're just like having such a hard time getting into the fucking building. There was the door guy. He went outside to take a piss, and there were vampires out there, and they were just doing their hunting thing. And when he came back, they would not let him in. Or actually, he could not go in, even though he could easily plow through a bunch of the people. They're just like, you've been inside all night. Why can't you come in? Or like, what's stopping you? Because you can't say come in. That's just like fucking opening up a can of worms.
Yeah.
That's got to be careful with that with vampires. So next time I see someone at my door and they can't walk in, I'm going to know.
That they're a vampire?
Like, yeah. I'm going to be like, no. Nah.
Okay.
Nah, I think you're going to have to stay there, bud.
You're just never going to have company again then. I guess I'm never coming over to your place because I'm a vampire.
Vampire. No, you're not a vampire. You know. You would have eaten me by now.
I'm planning my attack still, like 15 years later.
That's not prime blood, man.
I know, you're old.
Yeah, I mean, 15 years from now, that puts me in my 60s. Wait.
You're close.
Oh, close to 60. So, just saying. Get it while you can.
Nah, we're good.
All right, then. Cool. You heard it first. I'm safe. That's like a verbal agreement.
Okay.
Cool. It's documented. So, yeah, they're not allowed to go inside. I found that out or remembered that from Renfield, which was also an awesome vampire movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun one. I mean, we had a good time watching it. But you know what? We've done a whole bunch of vampire movies on this podcast.
Yeah, we keep like vampire movies.
Some of them are pretty good. You know what? This is what I love. I love vampire movies where vampires are, they look like they're sent straight from hell. And when they bite people, there's still blood all over their face and they're just covered. And
oh, man, that's why I like this first scene in this movie where we kind of see the vampire for the first time. It was Mary's character.
Yeah.
When she was fucking eating Stack in the maintenance closet or whatever that was.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that scene as a vampire, or the imagery as a vampire with the blood all over your face, dripping down your chest, it just looks awesome.
Yeah, looks great. There's other movies that I can think of that have that kind of look. John Carpenter's Vampire.
Yeah.
From Dusk Till Dawn, 30 Days of Night. You know, when they're just so fucking evil looking, but they still look human to an aspect. They're covered in fucking blood. The gums, the teeth, everything is just still bloody, and I love that. That's like one of my favorite things when seeing vampire movies is that chaos. It even happened in Abigail, where she was just covered in blood. You remember that, right?
Oh, yeah. When she was on the stair railing thing.
Yes, and she's doing her pirouettes and stuff.
Yep.
That was good. But I love when I see that for vampires. And man, what a fucking great movie. The scene that I thought was so unique was when everyone basically was turned into vampires, minus the whole small crew inside of the what's it called? The juke?
Wasn't it Juke Jive or something?
Yeah, Juke Jive. Okay, Juke Jive. Yeah, like there was a small, tight-knit crew still in the juke jive. Smoke, he got, it was Smoke, right? He's the one that got bit and turned into a vampire.
No, that was, wasn't that Stack?
I got confused between the two. That was tough.
Yeah, I always do.
Because both names start with S, and they're twins, so you kind of get lost a little bit on who's Smoke and who's Stack. So, oh, okay, Stack is the one that was bit. So he's the one that was, doing his thing with Mary, having a good time. We'll just leave it as that. And then she just starts fucking mowing down on his neck. There's blood everywhere. And turns him into a vampire naturally because she's already one at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they knew that they were vampires or she was a vampire was Smoke's girlfriend. She was all about dark arts and stuff like that, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, or like very spiritual. Very spiritual. So she grabbed, I think it was like holy water, and threw it at Mary. And Mary was burning and ran out. I think it was holy water. It was some sort of like, it was garlic water.
Oh, that
garlic
scene was water. Cool.
Yeah.
They made, she made them all chew pieces of garlic to see if they would burn.
Yeah.
That was a cool little scene there.
That was cool because you thought that the old harmonica guy, what's his name? Do you know? Do you remember?
The harmonica guy?
He's played by Delroy, Delroy something.
Slim.
Slim. Okay. Yeah, there it is. So Slim, he's an older guy, plays the harmonica. He was invited to the Juke Jive to play music. Same with Sammy. Sammy was invited to play music as well, and they were going to collaborate and stuff. But he took a raw fucking garlic and ate it, and he's like suffering, looking like he's about to like die or whatever. And Smoke's got the fucking gun just out, ready. But Slim's like, damn, man, I've been drinking all night and you're having me eat this shit? Oh, okay. Okay, he's not a vampire. But man, what he does later on in the film, and I think it's okay to say this, is that he cut his arm like down the river with a broken bottle. And he's like, come on, vampires. And he just
makes a trail of blood so they follow him.
Yep, basically. And so the others could get out. He sacrificed himself, basically, to save them. But that was pretty badass. I loved this scene, too, where the shopkeep, that lady, I can't remember her name, though.
Oh, Grace.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at that right now. Grace Chow. So, yeah, Grace, like, her husband left to go to the car to get it ready or whatever. And he didn't come back for a while. But when he came back, couldn't walk into the building. He's like, come on, let's go. Come on, Grace. We're going to go home. Come on. And he's like trying to like get her out. And that's when they're like, no, not happening. And she started going fucking crazy, man, because
she's the one that invited them all in.
Yeah, she did.
She fucking ruined it all.
She ruined the whole thing, but she was ready. As soon as she said, come on in, you motherfuckers. And just invites them all in. And she's got her weapon already. And she's running, beelining it for her husband, stabs him. She's on fire and just making sure that he's fucking dead, because he didn't want her going after the daughter. Because once you're a vampire, that shit kind of doesn't really matter much to you. Remick was like threatening to go and track down the daughter and turn her. And Grace did not want to have that. So stabbing the husband in the chest while on fire, fucking so badass. It was a badass scene. And she's just hanging out there on fire with that knife in his chest. Really cool. But this movie, we can't rave enough about it.
This goes up there with The Menu.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say
this goes on the Mount Rushmore of 30 screens or less.
Yeah. Okay. I'll agree to that. A Mount Rushmore of movies for us. Definitely. We'll throw that up.
We got to write that. Menu's, we got to start keeping track of these.
Keeping track of the five of the fives?
Yeah.
Or whatever they are?
We don't keep track of anything.
No, we don't. We suck. We're fucking awful.
Really unorganized.
We are an organized fucking mess. So, like I said, I don't want to go too much into this movie. Fact is, you have to watch this movie. It's an important one, especially for the horror genre, bringing it even more to the forefront in big cinema, you know, in tons of screens, getting people more introduced to the horror genre, getting them, you know, letting them dip their toes in the water. So this is a very important movie, very pivotal movie, even in just that aspect. So, Corey, I know this seems quick. I think we should just go into it.
No.
Unless you want to talk more.
Yeah, no. I gotta mention the ending here, because it really was awesome. When we fast forward and we see adult Sammy.
Yes. Okay, I know this scene.
I don't know if you knew who that was right off the bat, but I did, because so it was Buddy Guy. Are you familiar with him?
I am familiar with Buddy Guy, but I wasn't sure if it was him.
Oh,
that's,
dude,
so cool.
The second I saw him, I was like, holy fucking shit, that's Buddy Guy. I've seen Buddy Guy at Hampton Beach Casino Ballroom. I've seen him in New Hampshire, that place in Guilford.
Yeah.
I've seen him play multiple times, and he's one of the most like legendary blues guitarists of all time. And seeing him have like a pivotal role in this movie, I thought it was just like the cherry on top for me.
Yeah.
It was so fucking cool. Because they got him to sing. And dude, I don't know if you know how old he is. Hold on, I got to Google it.
He's got to be in 80s.
He's 88 years old.
88.
And he is still
fucking
killing it, dude.
Good for him. He was actually really good in this movie.
Yeah, he was. And like, he didn't have a large role at all. He played Sammy for like maybe the last 10 minutes of the movie and an after credit scene.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, in the after credit scene, that's where you found Sammy doing his little thing. And this is, I'm going to talk about it anyway. So Stax. Yeah,
Stax not dead.
So yeah, Stax survived.
And so did Mary.
Yep, and so did Mary. Smoke couldn't kill Stax because he always promised to keep his brother safe. So he didn't kill him, and Stax is with Mary. So like, they ran off. There's one thing I don't know how they pulled off, though, is because all the vampires in this movie got fucking killed by the sunlight, where did Stax and Mary go to?
You're right. They never really explained it, but I guess we're never going to know.
It's trivial.
Yeah.
It's really not that big of a problem because they could argue like, oh, they stayed underground or buried themselves in the sand or dirt or whatever just to stay out of the sunlight or something. Easy explanation for that. That's just me overanalyzing. But let's go into it. Corey, what do you give it? What do you give Sinners?
This gets a 20 out of 5 for me.
Whoa, that's a big number. That's a.
I cannot.
That's never been done.
Nope, first time.
First time.
So
oh,
I cannot say enough good things about this film. Everything was absolutely perfect. I have zero complaints. I have no gripes. You had the musical aspects, the gore, lots and lots of violence, and great storytelling. The score and the soundtrack were absolutely incredible. Michael B. Jordan deserves, I legitimately believe he deserved an Oscar for his performance as Smoke and Stack. I have so much respect for anyone that can play two characters in a movie, and he fucking killed it.
Yeah, man, that must be hard. Tom Hardy did it in a movie, and it was like an old-timey movie as well where he played brothers that are twins.
Yeah.
That's got to be such a hard thing to do because there's scenes where you have to pretend you're right next to yourself, basically.
Yeah, and not only that, but you're memorizing two different roles for two different characters or two different, you know, scripts, and you're doing twice the acting.
Yeah. Do you think he gets paid twice the money?
He better of.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
They are both very compelling performances from each brother. And there were scenes, man, where they're like kind of leaning up against each other and talking. I'm like, I know how you can do it side by side. That's an easy answer. But what I don't know is how the hell they touching and like, you know, just being brotherly.
Mm-hmm.
There's obviously some sort of stunt double or body double. And they're clearly superimposing someone's face onto another. That's the only way that I can think of where they're allowing like bodies to interact with each other and it's the same exact person.
Yeah, those scenes are probably some sort of movie magic.
Oh yeah.
But everything else, like Michael B. Jordan playing two different characters, they're recording or filming him playing two different characters. Mm-hmm. It's crazy to me because it's almost a 2.5 hour long movie. And I just, I can't imagine how long it took them to film his parts.
A long time, I bet. You know what? Actually, I want to talk about one thing that I thought was almost like a separate type of ending. So I felt that the movie could have ended with Sammy going to the church and that was it. But then we have this whole other part right after it of basically it being Rambo at this point.
Yeah, when he's just killing all the Klansmen.
Yeah.
And he gets, I love that none of the weaponry in this scene made any sense for the time period.
Not at all.
Because he had a whole ass sniper rifle. He had a Tommy gun. He had fucking grenades.
Yeah. He didn't give a fuck.
Like, this is the 30s. I don't know anything about, like, you know, when certain weapons were created, but I feel like we didn't have hand grenades in the 30s.
I don't know, man. I wasn't there.
I'm going to Google it.
I might have been there, but I think I'm going to go into my review now.
Fucking FBI is going to show up at my door because I'm Googling when did the hand grenade get created.
You're making a fucking history paper.
Yeah.
On primitive weaponry.
Dear FBI, I'm looking up this information for research.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we are researching it. We're trying to see that when that came out, when grenades came out, so we can compare it to the time frame of this movie.
What year? Hey,
I think we're okay.
The 8th century.
Oh, they probably had like a whole weird getup back then where it's like probably clay and they throw shit in it. It's like 300. You remember 300?
Yeah.
Yeah, with like the magicians with like throwing these freaking clay things and they're like blowing up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like maybe a grenade. The grenade we know, we're not exactly sure. But I'm going to go into my review now. Easy 5 out of 5. That was so damn good and unique in every way. I've seen vampire movies before, but nothing really in this setting, along with the implementing of heavy musical element. That was new to me. Not something that I'm like used to seeing. The cinematography, the music, the gore, the action, the writing, essentially, everything about it, I can't rave enough. There's not a single thing I would have done differently other than perhaps learning more about what made Remick the leader. But this movie, I think, was more about a night of survival and an attempt at redemption than adding more focus on the villain. So Sinners, man, easy 5 out of 5, 20 out of 5 for Corey. You'll never hear that again. I'm confident we're never going to hear a fucking rating that high.
Yeah, I'm in agreement there. But you never know. Stranger things have happened.
That's true. Stranger things have happened. But easy 5 out of 5, 20 out of 5 for Sinners. Be on the lookout for when it's on streaming. All right, everyone, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms so we can get some more exposure. Of course, tell your friends. Both our intro and outro music are courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Be sure to check out Andrew on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to pick it up. We're also part of the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to visit ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. They're an awesome podcast network ranging from wrestling to heavy metal, horror, all that good stuff. So check that out. Visit 30ScreamsOrLess.com for all previous episodes and transcripts to go with those episodes. Also, check out BeardOctane.com for their whole line of grooming supplies. And be sure to use the code 30Screams10 at checkout for 10% off your order. And if there's anything you want us to review, send an email to 30screamsorless@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Use hashtag 30screamsorless. And also, we have some awesome merch for sale on our website, so definitely check that out. If you go to our website, at the very top, there's a shop link. Click that link, and you'll see all sorts of shirts, hats, mugs, things like that. If you buy it, it helps going towards our hosting costs. I'm Steve.
I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans.